interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting episode VTWRLM 527. The onslaught doesn't stop here, on and on and on. Just point out, again, going through the Kobe swindle and coming into it, explaining that was coming, and then showing how to stop it. We didn't do so good as a society, didn't do so good globally. And that was the whole point. It's going global. That's why it went there. That's why it affected everybody. And we didn't handle it so well. So now we're moving back to where I was going from last week, moving through to show you, and some people may not like to hear this, but it's, again, I'm not here to hold anybody's hand or to cause any kind of diminishment of the truth of it, of things. Robert Kennedy Jr. is one of them, folks. I don't know what else more to say. People may not like to see that. There's a lot of fervor around him. I have to admit to liking what he says up front, but you got to get, again, stop looking at the polish or whatever polish it looks like there is and dig deeper. There's people coming to terms with that, a few, and a lot of other people attack them, I'm noticing now. And it seems to me that people are missing a monstrous amount of information about the historic context about all these people, where they've been, what they've been doing, the history of things that they're fitting into. And again, soundbite stumping is not something we should be agreeing to at all. It's the same style of deceit that goes on relative to bringing the global agenda on. And that's what he's doing. And I'm going to show you how this is all consistent around the globe. As I've been talking, it doesn't stop. If you may have a candidate in the United States running through an election cycle, if you look underneath what they're talking about and how they really feel, most all of them are pushing some form of this agenda. And they do it in certain ways so that it will move forward even slowly in the perception management happens. And everyone's looking for the most votes that bring it. So last week, I mean, weeks before, now I'm bringing it on because it's becoming such a big deal. Robert Kennedy Jr. is doing a good soundbite stumping that's lulling a lot of otherwise intelligent people into believing that he has the answers. And it's all surface stuff. It really is. Before I get all to that, for all of you that may have bought the SanDisk Extreme SSD flash drive, be careful. Beware, buyer beware. Some SanDisk Extreme SSDs are wiping people's data. So here's a little thing here. Western Digital finally has a firmware update. Meanwhile, it's been selling them at a deep discount. So if you're out there looking for hardware, hard drives, 4 terabyte and 2 terabyte, it appears, they fixed apparently the firmware for 4 terabyte. You might want to rethink what you're doing here and understand the firmware is the brains, the artificial intelligence to that device. And the artificial intelligence has said, I'm going to destroy everything on here. It doesn't have a thought about the ramifications of that. It doesn't have a thought of possession. It doesn't have a thought that it didn't do it. And this is what I want you to start paying attention to, notwithstanding the fact of, be careful when you buy these if you find them at a discount. And I mean, they're like big discounts. They were $600 and now they're down to a little bit above $200. Anybody in the market might not buy it. So be careful, even with the hardware thing. This is the problem with all this technology. It can go out. Now it's deciding to wipe out your life or your work, at least this goes. And I want you to keep a mind of this because when I get to the end of the tabs, we're going to find how this continues now, this new transformation in the technocratic future and how they want to bring us into this age of AI is this problem right here, where all of a sudden they have a firmware problem and your data is gone, your work is gone, whatever you thought was your life may be gone or that part of it gone. And this is what we have a future. We're relying on third parties to do and we rely on their work for our future. And the more you look at the technology, for as advanced as we think we're getting, it almost seems like it's going backwards right now, especially with the big chip fiasco going on. The United States should have never given up its chip manufacturing to China. It did. And now we're watching chip wars and all this kind of thing and more sanctions. Everyone's now sanctioning everybody. And that doesn't bode well at some point as we make the transitions. Or certainly the transitions are being made with companies knowing where their bread is buttered. Companies will sell to governments. And they get a lot of money. They can get a lot of money. In fact, I think it was Seagate that got hit by somebody for dealing with China. Millions and millions of hard drives. I would have never thought it. So, buyer beware on the SSDs. I've always had to wonder about them. They deal differently with data. And so we have an AI in there that they had to reprogram. And how many times have you heard that the update, it fails too, so be careful. But moving on from last week and in from last week, I got to an article, and it was interesting to me how the transition happens. And again, there's just so much to talk about. I left half of my tabs left, never got to them last week, to kind of close off this idea of where we're going. From the Covey swindle, which was the setup to beat us down, soften the target, to moving back to climate change. And then we see now Robert Kennedy Jr. stepping up, and it looks like he's talking about all the good, sensible things. And when you look underneath the skin of it, look past the polish, it's all the same here, folks. And this is, again, it doesn't seem like the ship of state is turning at all. I don't care what nation you're in. And it seems cliche already. We talk about the Great Reset. We talk about Klaus Schwab. He's just the latest cover performer on a thing that's been going on for quite a while. And they're getting their way with us because we tend to turn away from it. And interestingly, my studies over the years, decades now, seem to track me through and able to see this stuff on the backside where the law is, how they've already set up your laws, how people are out in the world working to put this together before anybody ever even really gets to understand it. It's already been practiced. It becomes habit even with your officials. Your democracy's already been overthrown because you went to a democracy and there was no adherence to the law in the regard of properties and governmental obligations to the people. It's all literally given lip service now, and that's why we see what we thought were constitutional amendments being ignored, if not destroyed. Again, a court case, I've got the evidence to myself. I don't need to, there's no interpretation needed by anybody. Equity jurisprudence is dead in one state, and I think it actually translated from there. It's in every state. I knew that was going to be happening. We hope not, but we try to put the equity jurisprudence forward, but they're not going to allow it. And that went all the way to the Supreme Court and denied. The destruction of equity jurisprudence was denied. So we're in, like I've been telling you, some real trouble. A lot of people don't understand what I'm talking about. Some people have a bare idea of what I'm saying. Those of you that have been doing, trying to protect yourself, thinking there was law in the courts and this and that, you know what I'm talking about. And so we're in a bad way. And I don't know what the answer to all this is. And it's certainly, I don't believe, going to be going to where a lot of people want to just make the easy out. Second Amendment, oh, we can do that. No, I don't really think so. No one's ever come back to me to explain how that would work either. And then we don't have the knowledge. We're really outside the knowledge. They've programmed us really well. And that's why a lot of what I say seems to just kind of, more handfuls of you are coming to listen and continue listening. And actually, I see your language changing when I see our communication. But the bulk of societies are not to the speed. And that's, I think, the major problem. And we're all looking in the same, and I say this generally now because some of you don't. My listeners like me don't. Just hand off your thoughts to someone else's sound bites. But that I see a lot of people jumping over to RFK Jr. And without more of a thought is troubling a bit. And it's not that hard of a study to find, as I've been trying to bring these tabs to. But where I was going with this is the global twisting into the global realignment they were talking about. 1945 to 2023, world on the precipice of a new global realignment. And so we take these pieces of information, start putting them together. We have here, I was moving from the veterans being denied their right to travel by United States imposing, the State Department imposing upon them, something that they've been doing for a long time and celebrating with the Soviet, what used to be the Soviet Union, the demise of the Nazis. And Victory Day, they called it, and celebrating that destruction. Today we look, and now the United States is supporting the Nazis. In fact, what is it, Operation Paperclip, imported hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of known Nazis, helped to secret them into the country. And we're looking at a lot of those perspectives. Remember, that's just National Socialism. So it's not a far jump into what we're seeing today, even if we didn't go to the Soviet. So I want to point out, even though we're handshaking in the 45 or so, and it looked like there was this Cold War set up, they were ultimately moving, because all this starts before that, ultimately moving to this new realignment. Partly how I can track some of this, for those of you that see that I do that. Some people may not agree, but it's there. And so I keep tracking that, and when it goes off the rail and moves into something else, maybe we'll move. But right now it's moving at warp speed, literally. It's just moving so quickly. And so, here, the celebration of another anniversary at the end of World War II in Europe provides a fresh opportunity to reflect on the new international security architecture that has emerged from the war's ashes. As humanity rushes toward a new multipolar world order, it's worth recalling how the post-war system emerged and how the West's hubris caused it to fail. Okay, so we look at that, and that's what I want to say. We're moving into the so-called multipolar world, which I told you is not really multipolar. That doesn't even make any sense. It's multi-points of a star, if you will, more appropriately, not the poles like a charge or a planet. These are all different points of a star, the hub of which is going to be economics. That's what you see about this World War II transition and who controls all this. And you're watching the so-called realignment. And there's a lot to read here. It's a nice, good thing to read. It's a historic representation of what went on. And be careful, you know, again, it's got the authorship prejudice built into it. That's not scary. Just read a little bit of that. But it's a nice way to go through and see a history in a nice summary fashion. But I want to get down to the point of this because I don't have time to go deep into all this stuff. Where we're going? What's the realignment coming? It shows us, and I've been telling you, you might see the confrontation so-called geopolitically. They're talking about war, that it actually might be going nuclear. It might go worse as far as, you know, it might be a limited nuclear, but then in a protracted destruction of people. Essentially, you're just talking the killing of people. And that'll be for the control of the land while someone's making profit from it. This seems to be the model. And it seems to work really well, so they continue. And nobody steps up to stop it. And again, for me, talking about it's not going to stop it, but maybe bringing awareness we all might be able to at some point. But I want to get about a quarter of the way or so into the article. This is the perspective. We look at this, the Soviet, which is now Russia, which has changed a bit. And then you have the United States in this confrontation. And you think that we're apart. I'm going to show you the realignment is actually putting us together. As I was telling you, be careful what I might say about in support of the Russian position from international law or agreements that the United States has made doesn't necessarily hand them the right totally on where this ends up. And here's the statement, if you will remember, I'll remind you that it sounds a lot like Xi Jinping's statement. This is coming from Foreign Minister Lavrov. And he says this, relative to all this organization, you'll see this historic representation going through from 1945 to now. He says this, there is no alternative to creating a consensus of the rules of sustainable global governance under a new historical circumstances with full respect for the cultural and civilizational diversity in the world in the multiplicity of models of development. Achieving such a consensus across the board will be difficult and perhaps tiresome, but there is no other way, Lavrov stressed. That's where in this whole story, that popped up because it's so consistent with where they're moving. This is the war in Ukraine is really just a cover for the continuation of what's been going on. The Kobe swindle was helped to perpetrate and soften the target. Why I'm so focused still on trying to tell people this is we're still in Operation Hindsight 2020. I'm hoping people will see it. And I see very little, if any, reflection when I'm suggesting what needs to be done to protect ourselves in the future. If you don't resort to what's available to us in due process, we will have no way to be able to protect ourselves because what the other side does is take away the law and they put their opinion in its place. They do it through a number of different means. The savings clauses for all your rights sit there, and that sets up the demand on you, or those of us that know, to assert. And then we're going to them, the usurper, to get the answer. And so don't underestimate what I've been saying and what people may not be. When you don't see someone responding to what I'm saying after they've made an assertion, and I'm trying to show them that there's a better way, and you don't see a reflection from them in what I say, understand we're dealing with a mass ignorance and no one knows how to respond to what I'm saying. That's even worse. And I'm not using my opinion. I'm saying go here and do this and that will help you to protect you. Think again, look how many people were deceived and what it took to understand in this Kobe swindle what we were actually up against. Even though I was leading the time by weeks, if not a month or two, to explain what we were up against and then quickly went to where we would help protect us. There is still people, most everybody, still doesn't understand this concept that if you didn't know at the time and you go into a future where they know you better than yourself, how are you going to know to discern what's the lie? is stopped by requiring someone, an official, to do an obligation or duty before they can impose upon you. There's nothing to listen to there. There's no lie. There's no ignorance to consider in yourself. Then there's no deception to have to hear. And I just responded to somebody with that. And I don't get any response. The problem is that's a dead wall. And if that's still a dead wall, we're, as societies, we're susceptible to this very thing that's moving along. It's not about the war. It's not about the denazification. Ultimately, Lavrov is siding with Xi Jinping, and don't stop there because I'm going to move on to the United States and show you this is a global realignment and it has nothing to do with the stories we're being told and the rumors of wars and all that stuff that's going on. Those are there. That's going on. But that's not the objective, it seems, because there's a second play going on. I hope those of you that listen to me and have read, hope you've studied beyond me when I say something, to go study to verify it. We're looking at, he says consensus. He says sustainable global governance. How much more clear do I need to say? He says there's a multiplicity of models of development. That's the innovation stuff. And more, and other things. There's so much to cover here. You want to talk about civilizational diversity. That's nations, but that whole system doesn't recognize nation states, if you will. I hate that term, but nation state. I don't like that. It's not a good, you're a nation or you're not. But the nation state brings you into like a state of unions. When you say it that way, you're bringing in like the United States situation where you have a district running over the international, there's supposed to be limited international cover that rules the rest. And so you got to be careful on some of these terms, but the nations are supposed to be here. They're supposed to be such civilizationally diverse. That's a little bit of a slight because that's not the diversity that we hear. And they're talking about their own diversity as a nation, which is not understood in a governance capacity. So there's a little bit of a hitch in that giddy-up. But he uses the words, and so everyone's lulled into believing those on the other side now, the international agenda moving forward, the future they want, that speaks to them. And so they may be lulled by that. So consensus. Consensus is not fact. It's just getting a bunch of people to agree. It has nothing to do. It's like direct democracy. You don't even recognize someone else's rights because essentially governance is not government. Okay, so we get to all these words right in this paragraph. It's fascinating. It popped up in this article. Long article, but it's a lot of information, and it sets us up for today. So we have Lavrov, which is talking from Russia. We have Xi Jinping, already made the same statement. We're going to be doing sustainable governance, global warming stuff. We're pressing all of that, and we're going to continue to press it. So what is this realignment? Is it meshing with the United States? Well, this last week, again, I missed all this here. I'm getting now behind. I told you it's going faster than I could put it together, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. I'm trying to show you something. Remember what I was talking about, Robert Kennedy Jr., underneath what he says. He's talking about all the same stuff that's essentially the WEF agenda and what they want, the Klaus Schwab. And it's not them. They're the cover. They're the cover of a long string of decades and decades of implementation. But who? None other than John Kerry declares war on U.S. farmers. Government farm confiscations not off the table. There's a story that passed a week or two ago. Doesn't that bring up the Netherlands? And so there's a ton to talk about in this alone. But we're moving in to just show you, what's the realignment? The realignment is that the whole global governance structure is in place and moving forward. They just have to get everybody to capitulate or beat them into submission somehow. And the only thing I know right now to stop this machine is to start resorting to due process and rights and see if we can get enough people together. But we have this guy, John Kerry. It's interesting that John Forbes, I think his name is, John F., not Kennedy, John F. Kerry. It's in the name, these letters are kind of interesting to me. Small farms are significant emitters of nitrogen, according to the Biden's climate czar, John Kerry, who is pushing for the United States federal government to crack down on farming in America to combat global warming. And so we think we're in war with Russia. We're not. We're in war maybe as a theater. Well, it's a war theater, yes. But it's a fabrication to the extent of where this whole thing really is going, the control system that's being put in place. Kerry insists the United States must massively reduce farming to meet the radical green agenda goals laid out to the World Economic Forum and the United Nations. And remember last week I pointed out to a discussion in an article, an interview, where Robert Kennedy Jr., said he wanted to destroy our production, which is farming and ranching and timber and all that stuff. All that stuff that I've been talking about we need to protect. Exactly what I've been saying is your property rights. Why they go to governance, because they don't have, you don't have property, and you'll like it, they don't have to give you due process. And you have to have a property in yourself, is what Kobe Swindle destroyed in everybody when I said go to the law to protect you with the due process that's there. A few of you set your record up so that that wouldn't happen to you. Most people didn't do a thing. Now I see the machinations of people that want to show how right they were about how they were saying all these mitigation level matters, the treatments, were invalid and killing people. When in fact, that's not the point at all. The point is neither they or anybody else made it so that they didn't have to communicate these harms because they resorted to insisting that a local official, not these federal or these national, international ones, but the local official complied with their duties under due process. For property owners outside of Kobe Swindle, outside of you having a property in yourself to protect, would be resorting to the saving clauses, as I tell you, for your land. And a lot of that's in land disposal law, which is evidenced by your patents. And there's a big trust breach right there. What he's saying right here at the federal level is a trust breach. As I just mentioned, patent, I hope some of your minds, said that's a domestic treaty. And you know that because of the patent has the signature of the president on it that's been agreed to by an act of Congress. And so you have a meeting of the two authorities that make a treaty. In this case, a domestic treaty. A patent is that power. This guy here, assigned by the United States government, is doing a trust breach and a property disposal breach just by saying this. And they also, as I told you, conflate production with commerce. And so there's a whole lot here. Again, I don't have the time to break it down. I talk about this all the time, actually. Anybody of you that's heard this will probably get tired of hearing me say these in little snippets here and there about how this is actually pulled together. But he says, a lot of people have no clue that agriculture contributes about 33% of the emissions of the world, he said that during his keynote address. Remember, for this, agriculture has been conflated to include not just the production of food, but it's the transportation that's not production, the commerce about it, and then the facilities. And they use all this big number, and they 33%. But remember, those emissions of the world are tied to a fraud, what they say is greenhouse gases. So I don't want to get through all that. I want to point out that there's a consistency where I was going from last week showing that RFK Jr. and what he talks about underneath his soundbite stumping speaks to this very same thing that Lavrov just spoke to and Xi Jinping speaks to and every other nation you notice. I don't know how these people did it, but they got themselves everywhere. Just as Klaus Schwab tells us. They've got their people everywhere. But they've been in the law for decades. So before these people, there was the law too. And the United States is, the people of the United States don't understand. Even the good-natured people that would go into politics don't have a clue. But nobody knows about this stuff, it seems, even though I've been talking about it for all these years. We don't get the word out. And apparently that's the real shadow banning that's going on. He talks about net zero here. And he talks about agriculture. Every time agriculture now is a code word. It means more than just making food, but he's after your food. That directly is sabotage. If you go look at the law, the United States law, this is sabotage. It's a trust breach. It's so much crime just in what he's presenting, but he's looked on as an official and assigned as a climate czar. Czar, where does that come from? That's from the Soviet before. So we're not far away from that. They've given you the names. And how can he be a climate czar? How is he the dictator to climate? It's all pretense, it's all mental management against us. Now we can listen to this and we can say, oh, he's full of garbage, or worse, but they're actually moving against us, okay? So this is not a joke, and this is highly consistent across the board, across nations, that everyone is speaking the same language. It's very concerning. What's more concerning is that we're flat-footed to this even so, even that I know. We can't put our words. Well, they have to get rubber to meets the road here to get traction. And so talking isn't necessarily the end of it. And yet the other side uses talking to inspire. People want the hurt to stop. They want their hero. And they don't, people literally, it may the same may be cliche. We are our own hero in a way, if I can say it that way. We're our own hero in stepping up for ourselves. Then the Kobe Swindle due process communicable disease law built into that was our ability, my ability to show that we do have the power. It sits right there with each one of us to do this. And so farmers are going to have to step up. I don't see that they're stepping up. I don't know why they're not stepping up. Farmers have to make food. I guess that's maybe why part of it. They're hardworking people, and they have to deal with nature, the very nature that's being said to be hurt. They're actually helping. Again, all this discussion I've had in the past about how mankind actually helps nature, can help nature. Yeah, certainly we do our worst. We can do our worst. But I'm saying a farmer's not going out to cut his nose to spite his face either. And he looks generationally. He wants it to be handed off to his sons and daughters, it seems. It has been in the past, maybe not so much recently. But John Kerry, another from the Climate Depot now, it is, okay, we can, oh, that's a very one-sided look. You're right, but they do have a lot of good facts here. They have an interesting list of things that you can look at yourself if you're interested to help farmers, to help production, to understand what this thing's about. The fraud using climate, it's not about the weather. It's about transforming your politics. It's about transforming from government to governance. And you just heard that from Lavrov. You hear that in Xi Jinping. And Kerry's not any different a story. Can't be settling very well with those vets that got them also denied their right to travel to do a victory and a celebration with comrades at the time over something that was decided to be no good. That is all of a sudden now their work is thrown down. They're now threatened with hardship on something the nation, somehow the nation's decided now Nazi, supporting a Nazi is something you do. Climate change is something you do. We forget about looking at the harm it causes. Because it's not about any of that. It's about people in control will maintain that control. John Kerry targets farmers. We can't get to net zero unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. Always consistent terminology here. But you know that the investors, the equity investors, BlackRock's have backed off of net zero. So we already have a chink in the armor here, the crack in the porcelain against what John Kerry, the czar, the Soviet, wants to do to you. Now, the Tsar was actually, I think, before maybe the Soviet. The point was it's a dictator running roughshod and foreign to you. It's not American law to be a Tsar. Never had a Tsar in the United States. Only recently when they've been invented administratively. And that's to show us and tell us that things are changing. He says, remember, this is coming from this guy, not many other people. And consensus is not science. Consensus is not even agreement. And consensus is exactly telling you they're not using any of that. I refuse, he says, to call it climate change anymore. It's not change. It's a crisis. And what I think that's telegraphing is those of us that understood about Covey swindle and even coming to it late are the crisis. We heard that. We heard them talking about it. This is the SMART process. They saw that there was resistance and it was pretty formidable, but they weren't going to get around. And that's the crisis. Their political transformation is on the edge. And I said, if that is the truth, that you are that difference. And it's going to take us helping each other to have this happen. Again, going through Jefferson Mining District, if you look at some of the things that we have there, they're to protect production and producers. We expanded from just miners. The subject matter was production. Different than commerce, understand. So there's a production position here, and it's protected in this country. It's protected in lots of countries. As I've told you, anybody to go to any country, and this is where the United States is doing it to Syria, where Israel did it to Palestine, going in and taking, in Israel, going and taking the Palestinians' rock and gravel sand was a war crime, was against international law, because you don't take someone else's resources. It's that important, even rock and sand, which is common, if you will. And so this is very big stuff that's going on. But he refuses to call it a change. No, it's a crisis because I think they're telegraphing that you are making an important contribution. As little and few of us as are, we're already affecting them. But he wants to come and come after our agriculture, which is not just the farmers. It's the entirety. If they're moving, why? Because they move into this carbon stuff. Then they moved into methane as well. What I found in a story was that carbon and methane were actually what was needed by other biological life in order to sustain itself. And it was in a story I might get to about the red tide. I should just tell you right now, PSA, red tide down there in Florida may have a flesh-eating bacteria, so be warned that this flesh-eating bacteria was given a part of a notice that says that these degradations that ride in on the plastics that we're talking about cause phosphates and other chemicals to be put into the water, which feeds the biosphere. And so they're actually talking about destroying a natural process in talking about these processes here, this czar. And again, it's not about reality. It's about fear-mongering in order to get you to comply or not respond. And so there's a global methane pledge. What does that have to do with local United States law? Again, global and governance is where they're at headed. The United States has no jurisdiction to speak globally. Now, it goes around beating on everybody globally, but that doesn't mean it's right. And so I wanted to point out just this discussion here, what this Climate Depot article does, it can get it more concise, but more proof how you go through and analyze what's going on with their interjection. Like John Kerry is advancing right in time, right after Covey swindle, they brought it back out, the so-called 1.5 degrees C methane emissions, 80 times more powerful, big fear-mongering thing. It's all part of nature. We already know that, so they're attacking us. This is not inconsistent with Russia, not inconsistent with China. It's all the same. So, again, be careful when we look in certain things and get too focused. Be careful about the soundbite stumping that goes on. It's not just RK, but in this case, I think he's the worst cover right now. He actually means worse, a quicker implementation relative to these things that are harming us, that get to the foundation of our nation, than I think the others are. And that may be hesitation there a little bit with the organized plundering that's going on. We see going through the Biden family and all that kind of thing that goes on. We see more and more. That's just all over the place. I've identified some of that in the Clintons and the Ukrainian, uranium one, which was Oregon one before that with the uranium deposit. And it's you, and then you're utilizing Canadian companies to come in, which then sold to Russia, which is the Canadian companies are actually the crown. And that gets us back to England, but also gets us over to the king. Again, a big proponent of how this works out and who's going to control all this. In the United States being unique, the people control valuable mineral development. The people control, by their patents, the use of the land for farming. They determine that. So something else is going on in South Dakota. It's not the eminent domain is not a license to come in and trespass in the first instance. There's a process. And even people that are being pressed by those things for this carbon sequestration in South Dakota, I just got a communication through the Twitter about this from Gary L. That isn't a license. They have to prove that their use is better use. Because in America, the private nature forever in the patent evidence, forever, is determined by the land use, not by someone's assertions. There's a whole lot behind all that. I've talked about a lot of this as well. Years and years we've been talking about this. These are the things that people are going to have to bring forward. And if you have a concept in your mind of how this works and you know some people, you should be telling them those things, how they protect themselves if they don't know. And I can see lots of people are busy. They're not going to necessarily, you give over a lot to your government to protect you, but they don't. In fact, my question back through that line to South Dakota, I think it was South Dakota, was where's the governor to protect these lands before force that into the due process if they have a right? Because that question hasn't been settled. How do you breach a domestic treaty from the federal government is an interesting question. But no one seems to understand the level of the harm that's actually going on, the level of destruction of the ways the United States works and the way the people were empowered. The people are clueless to some of this stuff. And then, that, as I say in one of my responses on the Twitter, I don't think I brought it up. Maybe I did. I don't know. In these tabs, or maybe I'll bring it in. We don't know about that corruption of that court, which is bought into this global structure. Remember, that's reflexive. They call it reflexive law. It's not law at all. It's some opinion, a bureaucratic now opinion, sitting in the under color of a judiciary. As I've explained, there's no judiciaries. They're the Bar Association members, and their rules are ruling this country and putting us into a bad way, and no one's understanding how to stop it. Not that I'm saying that my statements to you will. I'm saying that until we get to that mind, that level of understanding, we may not be able to surpass this problem. Another article here, John Kerry, would love for farmers to stop farming. I just wanted to give you, there's three different ways that people were writing to approach this. And different explanations come up more quickly to understand certain orientations that you need to have. So I'm putting these together for anybody that's interested. Again, this broadcast is not to tell you the news. It's about giving us there's the notice. They're telling us what's going on. It's an attack. I don't think I'm incorrect to say we're in a broad spectrum attack, even from our own government and our own military. This is more evidence of it. I don't tell you just that as news. I'm suggesting if we don't come roll up our sleeves and deal with it, we're going to be taken down And this broadcast is about trying to find paths for people where you find an interest that hopefully is what drives you to, because you're going to need that interest driving you in order to stay with it when the time gets tough and you start finding the prison, the limits of the prison we live in. And you then you start to figure out how we're going to deal with that. That's really where the real problem is. With the special presidential envoy now. Envoy was interesting. The word envoy also means to sanction, to stop. So I think I sent a tweet out for that as well. Envoy the envoy. Special presidential envoy for climate, John Kerry, recently warned that the world can't tackle climate change without first addressing emissions from agriculture. And so these are just scaremongering tactics. This is actually going after your food. And you will eat the bugs. And this is what part of this is about. This is what going after the cows was. I just read the top of this. Again, my mind just starts to get just overwhelmed with all that I need to talk about, but I don't have the time here to show it to you. If you're interested, for those of you that might be, I'm giving you links that start getting you oriented to who these people are. They're placed. They're highly placed. And we need a whole lot of help to come back to help the targets, which is our food producers, our timber producers, all this industry that's going on. Manufacturing is not commerce either. Understand that. They've conflated that as well. They brought manufacturing into commerce. I don't know if I said, okay, so manufacturing is not commerce. Have you ever thought about that? And did you know that? And if you had never thought about it or didn't know it, that's where they have us in ignorance. When you understand that manufacturing, even the making of the producing of the food and the thing is not in commerce. And their authority, the federal authority, is in regulating commerce. And it's not in commerce. You know he's overstepping his bounds, and they mean to hurt us. And so this is how, if you didn't know that, you don't know that. How can you know what the real harm is? How can it be interesting to you? How do you know it's important to you if you don't know these basic things? And so if you did, and you're not interested, well, that's one thing, but how can you not be interested in someone attacking your food? And don't think that they talked about small farms. That may go down to your backyard. They've already attacked the front yard in most places in the cities. You can't grow food. What is that? Well, I found it's sabotage. And it's a national security interest if you want to upgrade this. John Kerry's coming in underneath the color of a federal authority, a federal envoy influence, to spread this lie and this control consistent with every other nation that we are fighting with or sanctioning. Should be an interesting anomaly in your mind. It is in mine how that works out. It's kind of funny. But they mean us. The words here, the attack on farming, is not a joke. And this has been going on. People in the West know this more likely than anywhere else. I don't know if it's important in other places. We just look at it, oh, well, it's the government doing zoning changes and, you know, regulation. But it's not. It's these guys doing these academics essentially laying out the plan as they have time to sit and be paid to lay out the plan. John Kerry, here's a story, John F. Kerry, a climate warrior or climate con man. Interesting observation. I just want to point out, he's not a con man to the point that he's conning you, because what they mean to do is serious business. But climate warrior and climate con man is really the same thing. So it's not really opposed in this article. And you have to understand what's going on relative to the fact that this is not about the climate. It's about transformation. They're not conning you about that transformation. The attack is real. There are people that are having to suffer this. And suffer what? They talked about carbon before. As I've pointed out, all this is just a big fraud. It's like the COVID. Well, we're going to point out to this bug that may not even exist. We haven't isolated it, but we're going to get you to believe this boogeyman, boogie virus. And there we go. And so look at what the world did is our problem. That some of you didn't doesn't matter. Not enough of you did. And in the right way, as I've been saying. John F. Kerry here on the fight against global climate change is an all-consuming passion of his waning years, and is no wonder, therefore, that President Biden picked the former U.S. Secretary to be his administration's climate czar. Again, this is already in the government. This is what the EPA, it's a pillar of one of the destructive forces that the UN passes. It's the environmental pillar. And you have social and an economic. And so the three-legged stool, they call it. But this is all sitting there and being implemented. And the United States federal government is doing this. And this guy's coming out completely in trust breach to say he's going to attack. Well, I'm talking the trust breach of the land disposal, and yet there's the trust breach of the public trust in fabricating a condition that doesn't exist. And, okay, who's the guy behind the woodshed? Well, you know, if you look around far enough, and I told you over time, people do come back out to explain it. And they wanted to start it out with carbon, and they moved to methane because they found out that we were finding out about the carbon. And remember, this carbon's going on here, and there's a problem going in South Dakota that I don't understand why it hasn't stopped in its tracks. But here we go, because people are either too busy or ignorant. They don't know what to do, despite the corruption in the judiciary. You don't need the judiciary. In fact, I've told you, I've got statutes in a state that said that the judge of a court cannot interfere with your patent. If that's the case, you don't have a judge that can sit and preside over the evidence of that patent. There's no judiciary that can interfere. The judiciary is the highest, I will say, administration of your rights, if you will, the administration part of that. But it's in law. It's a matter of law by the evidence of the patent. No administrative hearings officer can interfere. Their rights, their powers don't rise high enough. The judge, a judicial officer in the department, a judicial department of a government can't touch it. And the hearings, the administrative hearings officer's power doesn't rise high enough. To show you what's really, how clearly this thing is, that you can avoid the judiciary altogether. And anybody who touches it is in an official breach. And so when you understand this thing, you're not even, when you understand what I'm saying and understand the subject matter, and some of you will shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, but you got to go to the court. No, you don't, if you understand what I'm saying and understand the law that we're dealing with. The government departments cannot touch something that's been conveyed to the people. And that is evidenced by these patents, which protect us. And getting over to where they, so this fear-mongering that they do cannot touch us, and yet you see they keep promoting that they can through John Kerry and the so-called Biden administration. Trump did a little bit less, but he also did his own fault. In fact, he brings on one of the tools and weapons of bringing on the global governance at warp speed. So don't underestimate that he didn't fully do it either, and he's a part of that as well. Robert Kennedy Jr. is coming in with better sounding cover, but he's an implementer of this, and he's an attorney, and he's practiced at how he undermines people's local rights. And I know that because of the waterkeepers groups he helped to create and foment globally now, that we've had to fight at JMD and stop their nonsense because they don't use a water law. And Western water law is different. It's kind of interesting. It's a Western water law. It's a water law doctrine about how water is used. They violate that all the time. And so until we get people in positions of decision and the people themselves to understand this, that we're going to have this real trouble on things that are frauds. And I've talked about this carbon and the carbon value and the carbon market that was invented to make this thing look good and for corporations to make money. You think the guy behind the woodshed just talking opinion? No, it's some guy pops out and says, no, this is all a big problem here. CEO of biggest carbon credit certifier to resign after claims offsets worthless. You know, interesting, they're not worthless in the context of it being a weapon to defeat you and steal your money and steal your life and steal your property. It's not worthless that way, but they're worthless under law. They're a fabrication, no different than your fiat money system, your as money, your as laws. The as laws are what I'm saying. You don't go into as law when you already have the law. You don't work with someone who's usurped your life and your laws to go ask them for your permissions when they're already given to you and you have evidence of that. So David Antonioli to step down from Vera, which was accused of approving millions of worthless offsets used by major companies. The head of the world's leading carbon credit certifier has announced he will step down as CEO next month. It comes amid concerns that Vera, a Washington-based nonprofit, approved tens of millions of worthless offsets that are used by major companies for climate and biodiversity commitments, according to Joint Guardian investigation earlier this year. You can read about this. He's stepping down. He says that they're worthless. Again, they're not worthless to the overthrow, but they are worthless in the context of truth and law. They've been allowed, this carbon has been allowed to have more power than even your property owners as a presumption, which should have never happened. And this brings up the tweet that I put out. I'll just read this out. Responding to the South Dakota attack, which I'm going to have a link for. You can, anybody who is around South Dakota, maybe you can help farmers there. They're getting trespassed right up front without the process. And I read some of the laws. I went quickly through, didn't do a deep dive at all, but went really quickly through. And you look very carefully, read carefully. You'll see that there's no presumption of right by someone who wants to claim that they have a pipeline interest to put in. They have to do it by the prescribed law, but it's written that it's in there. When you read it in context of this law, you see they have no rights. They have to go through a process, none of which I'm seeing going on. And so anybody should be able to step up. There's supposed to be this company that's using carbon sequestration pipeline system, but trying to take people's property, being able to get the right to survey. They've never, ever been through the due process for an eminent domain to determine that theirs is a better use than the one that was granted forever to the one who owns the land. That has to happen first. And then compensation has to be laid out, if they can do it. And it's a best use condition. And so there's a whole lot here, but I'd send back to, I think it was Gary L. sent me this story. I didn't know anything about it, so thank you for a heads up. I don't have a lot of time to really look at all this situation, but I looked quickly, and I'm going to respond to the fact of these corporations jumping in and invading, basting carbon, where we now have a CEO saying these credits are worthless. And the reason why they're doing carbon sequestration under this fraud that it's going to do something in the world relative to Mother Nature, when we know Mother Nature is the producer of all this, the Mother Nature actually needs all this stuff. And so these people are actually anti-people and anti-nature. I say thanks. To my knowledge, and this is based on running roughshod eminent domain over farmers, over their land. As we saw before, I've talked about this before as well with these pipeline situations. Thanks. To my knowledge, any court corruption aside, a claim for eminent domain isn't a license authorizing trespass or providing standing or jurisdiction to enjoin obstruction to entry. Don't people know their patent rights and remedy? And why is Governor Christine Noem derelict to protect? In other words, there's a whole lot here in this statement here, the obstruction to enjoin, obstruction of entry. That's where the companies are trying to enjoin the property owner from stopping them from going into survey for their pipeline already, before it's been determined it's a better use than what was already granted and disposed to the property owner forever in their patent. And so that's one. Derelict to protect? What am I talking about? Derelict usually ties to a duty. To my knowledge, there's a state obligation to honor the disposal of the Congress, especially since they're evidenced as patents, which are domestic treaties. Domestic treaties, folks. This is how high-level law we're talking about. That the governor has to protect the disposal of the soil. That's an obligation of the state. That's what I'm talking about, if no one knows what I'm saying if my short words in a Twitter, trying to cover a subject matter, isn't fully understood, there's a little bit of an expansion. That word derelict speaks to an obligation of a state to protect the disposal of Congress by grant evidenced in the patent, that she's supposed to step up quickly to protect her people. And I'm not dismissing her. She probably has no clue about this. And her attorneys are not going to tell her, are they? No, they don't believe in any property, actually. That's not conditioned by their guild, their opinions. And yet I've told you, the one state I know, I have a statute that says that the guild can't have a say. And that would be true, wouldn't it? In law, the guild can't have a say what the Congress and the President have ordained under the laws of the United States relative to patents and land disposal and their obligations. This is not something that they have license to be different in. And so, again, I bring up some things that are really dense, I understand. Those of you that do the study, you start to see that. And I try to make my statements and my words mean something. And these powers are sitting there, as I'm kind of expanding here on this tweet, just a little bit, to show that we are absent as a people against a federal government that is willing to promote someone who works in breach of trust, who makes war on the laws of the United States. Understand when I say sabotage. He's going after your production. He's going after your land rights. He's going after the establishment of the organic government. He is making war on the laws of the United States. He's not just making war on agriculture. And so our review in these articles I want to show is defective as well, where we even identify he's going attacking farmers. It's not enough that we just say he's attacking farmers. He's literally making war on the laws of the United States, and the administration is okay with that. is what I've been telling you. If they're going to do it to somebody else, they're going to do it to you. And there's no one going to protect you but you. And Kobe Swindle allowed us to do that, if I can point to the local communicable disease law. Again, it's not going to be handed to you. You had to insist on the obligations and duty fulfilled, and then you had to know what your due process rights in protecting yourself against the fraud and deceit, which I pointed out was the habeas corpus. So, I've talked about this. I know it's compact. I know it may be going past people. I'm not speaking simple terminology in a way, but I'm speaking really simply in another way. Once you get to the level of understanding what your law is, you want to talk about being an American with rights? That was a big obligation, as I found out. It wasn't hard if we just kept up with it, because it's really simple. When I say, no, judge, you don't have jurisdiction to interfere with my rights forever, and no, you equity, you want to enjoin me to stop me from keeping you on my land, no, you don't have the title enough to come and do that. Oh, let's look at eminent domain. It cannot be imposed without the process started lawfully. You got 3 points to start with right there. That keeps all this down that nobody I hear uses. And I haven't even gotten into any arguments whatsoever yet. Why? Because they're not arguments. They're simply applied. 3 points, simply straightforward stated, not on and on. I don't care about court precedent. I don't care about the authority of the state. I put that as an obligation, a breach for not protecting me, as an obligation of the existence of the state. Where do I get that, folks? I've talked about this before. Boy, I'm getting off track a little bit. Got to get moving. The Enabling Acts of your state. It says right in there. And those without you, your laws that say that, and I think that could be the East Coast, you got to look a little bit closer. It's going to be in how the organic environment was, the organic government environment was that adopted that. That's how they functioned. And so there's a little bit more to give yourself a foundation, each one of you, to do all this. But here we have, I don't know how this thing works in South Dakota and sequester. They want to do pipelines and sequester carbon dioxide. Yes, the word carbon dioxide is actually in the law of South Dakota. It doesn't mean that because that word's there, they have any right. They have to start a process. And if that process has not been started, or they don't have the order that allows that, eminent domain takings, which means you had cash in hand, then they are trespassers. And their injunction can be stopped with yours. And there's no authority that I know that can stop that. Because they have no title, right, interest, or privity to your property that Congress and the President of the United States, as an assignment likely, not an heir. I don't know of many heirs anymore. There might be some. In the East, there might be. Well, in the West, there might be for mining claims. Anyway, if you're an heir, great. If you're likely, you're an assigned to a patent. You should have searched that out and found your domestic treaty that was supposed to protect you, and the law was supposed to protect that. And there's no department of government that can interfere, because there's no jurisdiction in those and authorities in those. But here we have, I don't know why their governor, which was a decently good governor, except she didn't out the Kobe Swindle fraud, which she was against, but she could have made a simple answer for herself. See how simple law works? She just declares they couldn't fulfill the communicable disease law duties, and it's over. Done. Fraud. Nothing to respond to, nothing to say, nothing to ask for protection for. Go handle your flus. Go see your doctors. Take your medicines. Your stuffy head, fever, can't whatever, feeling medicines. Call me in the morning with your orange juice. All that. That would have happened. That's all. Anyway, moving here through. Why aren't we doing this in South Dakota? They're using this carbon that we have a CEO said the credits are worthless. That means that all what they're doing is worthless. That can't be a higher public use than growing food, even if that was could be a contention. Got it, folks, how simple that is? But here we have, the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution states the government may only exercise the power of eminent domain to take property from citizens if they pay just compensation to the property owners and if it is for public use. No, it has to be a higher public use, and it has to be by due process, not just if they pay you. And that due process requires that they show a higher use. First of all, they have to show a better right. And then they get to the higher use. So this leading argument, leading statement on the South SDFreedomCaucus.com website, I just want to show you that there's a whole different way to analyze this. It's a little bit more than the Fifth Amendment. Did you hear me talk about Fifth Amendment till I got here? No, because it has nothing to do with the Fifth Amendment. It has to do with being able to show that you have better title that puts everybody, every governmental organization, agency, department, official out of the condition. until they follow their duties and obligations. Isn't that no different than the statement I said for Kobe Swindle? The Kobe fraud was handled the very same way. Would you have escaped? That is the part of the problem. How ignorant might you have been relative to all the due process and how to battle with a corrupt judicial system? Would have been the only question there. But as I said, more and more people coming to the right point brings a mass of people that would help to protect against them. And then if you know a little bit about going after officials when they breach their jurisdictions, then you have more pressure you can bring. It's a lot more work there, but you can still do it, and more people can help. Then we start to see us pushing back. Before, where law would recognize these things, we wouldn't have had to do this. But because we've allowed it now on ourselves, the silence has been consent for these criminals to come along. I just want to point out this. There's a South Dakota Freedom Caucus. Great that they're there. Fantastic. They have their argument, whatever. I'm showing you that there's not an argument. I'm showing that the due process, if there's an eminent domain right, there's a process in that state. Their laws say there's a process in that state. I didn't even have to make that one up if I didn't know. But there's no presumed authority or title that can overcome a property right that's been granted to an assigner or an heir that works automatically, that anybody could be going on these properties and doing any survey before their proposal can be found to be valid. As I see a CEO that says the credits, the tax, the system, that the carbon market is worthless credits. Yeah, but that's a third party doing this too. I told you the third party. This is a fascism. That it is worthless means that all the carbon that they're moving through is worthless. To sequester is also worthless. So if you put these together, you start seeing a pretty quick defense. Not just stepping back from the right of your title to not be interfered with and your possession and your enjoyment, most important, to do what you want. Then you step back and say, well, they're coming with it to try to address their attack. They're coming with something that's a fraud, based in a fraud, and worthless nevertheless. And it's also in the tax system, understand. That's totally a caboose hooked onto your property rights. I told you there's a difference between production and commerce. They put tax on that, they've just encumbered your property. They can't do that. Production and land are different. And yet we don't understand that as a society. Almost the same difference between the imposition of the industrial pharmaceuticals on your right to be left alone until due process has happened. They were taking your ability because your property had a fault that it was subject to in communicable disease. And once they go through that whole process and they qualify it, then they may be able to suggest a treatment. And then what? In COVID, in the public health, you still have a say. And as long as you're showing that you're not going to be affecting someone around you, they have to stop at that point. And if you're not, then you won't stop your nuisance or abate your nuisance or stop your harm to your neighbor. Then they move independent to stop and protect the rest of society. It's no different in land law. Looked at just a little bit different words, of course, but... So here, we have a great, sounds like a great attempt here, South Dakota Freedom Caucus, stop the steal, they say. They don't mention things I mention, and I hope you hear the authority of what I'm saying. You don't want to get in an argument and hand someone your power when you don't need to. And where there's an obligation and duty written, you make sure that they comply with that first. And the pipeline issues in South Dakota, I looked at a few statutes, went quick, it wouldn't take long to go look at them, and read the text. And you do not find, there's no place that these people move independent if they're not have a title to the land, or an evidence of title to the land. It doesn't matter that they're a pipeline company. It doesn't matter that carbon dioxide is mentioned in the statute. That just means they have to comply if they want to do. If they want to execute independently on the eminent domain because the pipeline, a miner has the same right. We can take land for water conveyance. Right? But that had, you got to go through a process to do all that. You just don't go start building a pipeline. You don't start just surveying. And where does that go? That goes local. It doesn't go federal. And so, So this all moves in the same problem, moving that governance forward. And the people of the United States of America particularly, because I don't know the laws of property for everywhere else. And when you get into the crown lands, the king's lands, like the UK and that, the king owns a lot of the land. We just tell you the biggest landholder. So I'm not quite sure how land protection works in other countries. I'm giving examples of the United States. It's pretty clear they're there. They're saved. They're protected to be resorted to. They can't be covered up in the law other than the terminology of five-word phrase, subject to, you know, these other statutes are subject to the prohibitions in your law. That's the savings clause. But do we have this moving forward to see where John Kerry's moving this, where global governance is, that it's all consistent. I don't care what country you look at. Robert Kennedy Jr. is promoting this. When you look through his soundbite stumping that's going on, and if I heard just that, I'd feel pretty excited. But I've learned to look a little deeper. World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab, quote, "I believe the future is not state capitalism or shareholder capitalism. The future is what I call stakeholder capitalism, what is combined with social responsibility." He goes on to talk about the WEF and all this in the statement as a tweet that I thought reminds us what this whole thing's about, what John Kerry is promoting. The usurpation that's going on, the war on America, the war on the laws of the United States coming right out of Washington on this. And they all support this new concept of stakeholder capitalism. The stakeholder I've talked to you about, see, this guy is just he's the new Muppet, sock puppet. I talked to you about this stakeholder, stockholder, shareholder stuff when I talked to you about years ago about the guru academic professor that explained it in those documents. Now, this is where I started to talk about Genghis Khan and his horde. They come and knock on your door and ask you for a cup of tea. You kind of better give it to them. That's lawlessness. But that's the way they do this. A stakeholder can use a stalking horse like Robert Kennedy Jr. to get what he wants. But you also notice, combined with social responsibility. There's nothing separate than this point of social responsibility to the agenda. And this is the social responsibility he talks about relative to these stakeholder, stockholder stuff, environmentalism, carbon sequestration, carbon climate change. It's all the same stuff. Attaching to social responsibility, which I told you is going to go to your digital coins as well. Because remember, not only is it fiat now, it moves and transforms and translates out of even the fiat into an obligation to the third party from which you gain the coin. There you're transformed into performing under their obligation to something which they've made up in this case. This global governance. You're being moved out of even fiat money into an obligation to a third party's obligation, and they have the right in that law to protect themselves of your mismanagement. That's like a trust, a reverse trust setup. Did I just confuse some people here? I hope not. I hope we're, as American people, we understand this, but I think I might have. They've inverted the trust relationship, and you can be the trustee of their obligations as the beneficiary. And that's what this new coin money does. It's really fascinating how they figured this out. However, this is the stakeholder. You're not a shareholder in capitalism. It's not capital at all. Capital is your production. It's what you can physically create. This is not what they're talking about. But this is where the future, the World Economic Forum, which you heard connected up to John Kerry, which you can see the words written coming right out of Robert Kennedy Jr. that I was talking about last week, the exciting cover that he puts onto all this. And I'm not against just him. He just seems to be getting the air right now because people want the hurt to stop. All these folks that are running in these offices seem to be the same way, or absent of it is more, and it almost even worse. They will not even want to look at it. And I don't even figure that one out either. The point is that they're not serving the office, if I can move it to there, in any fiduciary capacity. And that's another type of breach. And so we have this problem. You will have no property and like it, where they're running roughshod in South Dakota to not go and do eminent domain properly, if they can. They are claiming you have no property rights up front. Any court that allows that is determining you have no property rights up front, and that needs to be addressed as well. You bring them into the fold of the breach as someone to enjoin as well, if you don't have the statute that says that the judge can't interfere with the rights of a patent. Can't change it. And so you have to really get integrated with what you really have as a power. But this is moving us into the global governance that we start from the beginning. Lavrov said they're moving into it themselves, like China is moving into the pivot to China I told you about. All right? All this is together. All these years, I've been kind of dragging this one along a little bit, just letting you know here, but it's all coming together. and I can highlight it through Robert Kennedy Jr. that otherwise looks kind of cool, kind of exciting, kind of fresh, which means they know what they're doing is the scary part of that for me. And watching a lot of people already bend to it is, again, another kind of a scary thing, although at some point, I don't know what more to think about it. I really don't. I just watch people. I'm living in an insane asylum, I suppose, and there's not much I can do about it. Just kind of avoid. I can tell people what to do. I have to protect themselves where they are. I can tell them people, and I say, don't not engage. Where we can engage, where we have a line of people that are, do better than, like, for myself, I don't apparently get to people to influence them so well. I have friends that do, and they work with the people that have a seated decision. We're still doing that behind the scenes. We still work to try and make those changes, and we do. And it's a kind of a lot of work, but that's because there's so few of us that are working and so few people in the seated decision that truly understand, always against the Bar Association's advice and counsel of liability and risk against doing something, which has been conformed and transformed already to make it look like they can only go down this certain path of unity and all community. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing. As soon as you talk community from a government of the United States position, the local government is sitting in a usurped capacity because they're supposed to represent the people, and the people are sitting on their own private property rights. In fact, they agreed to that, even though they've adulterated and mischaracterized the land as ad valorem for the purpose of what they're doing, which is a violation. They still acknowledge that it's property to be done. And when you show the source of that property is supposed to not be interfered with, you don't have a community anymore. You have a bunch of individual property owners. And though the state is to represent that and protect that. So, again, another nuance here of where this might go. But the government, global governance that John Kerry is being promoted, the envoy of which the federal government promotes in the administration, and he's just the latest, is promoting exactly what this World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab speaks to relative to you're dealing with stakeholder capital. And that's what that CEO is, a stakeholder. And he's coming out to tell you that what we're doing is worthless. And I say it's worse than that, but neither here nor there. It's not valuable, is the point, relative to utilizing carbon dioxide to overwhelm and beat down any other property or right. Again, that's an aesthetic they're even saying is worthless. And aesthetics do not stand against substantial property and rights. I've talked about all this years and almost a decade ago now. But that's where this place is moving. And then we see, now for those of you in England, how this moves along and globally. It's not just Russia and China, and now that we see the United States is involved. Sir Chris Whitty, among senior figures appointed to an active Travel England advisory panel. This guy is the guy that was the chief medical officer over there in the UK, I think it was, in England. And he was all for these COVID curbs. What we're talking about here on this Travel England advisory panel is essentially your 15-minute cities. This guy now, who agreed with lockdowns and making them more lockdown, is now in charge of what he's called these 15-minute cities. And what their objective here on travel will be to reduce, essentially, and when you look through this, roughly reduce your travel by 50%. What's that? That's to reduce, supposedly, your carbon emissions. And we just found out a CEO says that the credit system for taxation is worthless, which means the underlying product that they're taxing or giving sanction to and subsidy to is worthless. And yet they're running on something worthless to cut out and make more austere your life. And England's moving just as quickly, if you didn't understand the King's involved. We've got two links on this. These are directly from government of UK, the Active Travel England. Travel England is an organ, their advisory council, to be consulted on all large planning applications. This is going forward. This is where that they're going to cause your places to be built or things to be used within these areas underneath their task force, which I've showed you before, work in consensus, and they use their false authority that's been given authority, like John Kerry, making war on your world, yet he's given at least ostensible authority that no one actually challenges. And he goes around on his private jet, where you're going to be cut out of good walking and wheeling and cycling infrastructure, will cut you out of doing what you need to do in preference of this carbon sequestration. He gets to fly on his jet, or whether it's the United States jet or a private jet, going all over the place, polluting more than you ever will in your whole life in one trip, to go and influence people to impose this upon you globally. The global initiative. If you don't think we're all peoples that are interlocked, notwithstanding our laws, which show you that our laws aren't working, which means that we have a problem as people. Not because they're imposing it, because we're not using those laws to protect us. And so we have the, again, I'm trying to tie you this whole fraud moving through the world. You can't look at Ukraine saying the United States is at war. You can't look at, or even proxy if you want to believe that, or China, we're making war, or Taiwan. This has nothing, that's just another layer of what's on. That's driving another type of economy. And we understand some of that problem. But as this thing moves, as we get all these things are happening underneath the cover, frauds are moving to take us out of our property. And for the people of the United States, that's all we, in a way, we have at this point, the property and the laws to protect it. That property is even in us. We have our own property. We are our own property. That was totally ignored, completely ignored by us, and certainly by the officials in Covey. And what is this fraud that goes on that we don't even need to really worry about it? There doesn't need to be this mitigation this way that we see moving into an alternative, because this system of administration for this is really under the Administrative Procedures Act. It has to follow rules as well. And this sort of imposition has to go by some rules. This is where we hear about the meetings, the Delphi meetings that you go through that try to get your consensus to negate your own rights. So this process is administrative. To do all this in America would require more meetings, and they have them, but no one knows about them, to participate in it and shut them down to say you don't have a right to come against granted rights or my antecedent rights. You have no authority, so anything you do is a breach. If we had lots of people speaking that way, it probably start to turn things pretty quickly. But when you start, that in that process is a process of promoting alternatives. They have to look at all the alternatives that are better and don't infringe or infringe less where they can infringe. And so this is a process that's being negated. Well, we see evidence in the world. Since this is really global and all peoples are being adversely affected to be taken out, we ruled over a centralized governance, not a government. Yours is just ignored if it's not usurped. Or usurped from the inside. But we find an evidence of an option that exposes the whole entire fraud, as, again, the carbon is worthless to them if they were to set a better alternative, showing also their administrative processes are faulty when they're not choosing some of this. That newly launched Finnish nuclear plant sees electricity prices plunge by 75%. The commencement of regular output from a much-delayed Finnish nuclear reactor in April saw electricity prices in the country decrease by more than 75%, and while the plant's production is still in its early days, its launch has had a considerable effect on Finland's energy prices. Well, that's just the energy prices. A nuclear power plant doesn't create anything that they talk about in greenhouse. And so this would have been, under the properly administered laws, an option to check whether or not it was better and less caused a less of an imposition on the society than going to carbon sequestration and all the other carbon nonsense that we would ever seen. Not only that, your prices drop. That they're not going to that shows you this. No one's doing even administrative law. And I've suggested this, if they were going to go to that, the technology had really come along. I have my reservations about nuclear, certainly. Nothing, it seems, is perfect. Not anything man puts his hand in. But the nuclear plants recently being made are much more efficient. And if they was given more credit, they'd probably do more that were even more safe. And this would have been an alternative, which you've never heard done. And when they put one online, understand Germany just cut this process and prospect out to do more green, which just raises up their entire economy's costs and now put them in recession, and they're looking like they're going to be deindustrializing themselves. They're going to turn into a Detroitified place. They're destroying themselves and not looking at these alternatives, going on an agenda because their leaders are doing it. But here, put a nuclear plant in place. Now, again, the Finnish population is lower. Got all that. But look at the effect. And no greenhouse, folks. If that was a concern, look at no greenhouse. No greenhouse problems at all. And yet you won't see this promoted by the Klaus Schwabs of the world. Why? Denounced in Germany. Why? Because there's no law. We're not dealing in rationality. We're not dealing in what we, most of us think normally, I suppose. There's a certain process and there's certain rationales and they make sense and let's go that way. Apparently the ones that are making the decision don't work from that play card at all. Yeah, but here's evidence, right in the world. You go to a nuclear power in the properly placed population density and your prices, just prices alone drop 75%. You also have better stability in the electrical system because that's what the electrical system is all about, stability. That's all. Frequency and power. That's it. And that's what the problem, another problem with the green agenda is, trying to hook up these very expensive and polluting devices. You see a windmill going around not making no smoke. You forget it took all the miners in the world to make that, to put it there. All that had to happen, and you're not going to do that mining with electricity. That's the first one. But anyway, I don't want to get too lost. So you put a nuclear power plant in Finland, boy, prices just drop, and stability comes in. Something green-relating Germany just cut their throat on. And in regards of this constant coming out and promotion of this fraudulent thing called climate change, that even if it was something, a nuclear power plant looks to be the one of the main answers for it. We have right on cue the promotion coming against celebrity. Jail white men to save the planet, says Jane Fonda. Jail white men to save the planet. Now, I don't know that Jane Fonda was a woman of color, and she's also a woman, I think. But I notice I've told you before the UN agenda is uses stalking horses that are to another stalking horse protect the women, children, and the indigenous. And you see the RFK Jr.'s waterkeepers were looking and using the indigenous. So he's also using that form. I've talked about all of this. I've tried to offer solutions for both sides if there were sides. We're all part of it. There's a way to go through this and it doesn't violate anybody. That distinction and difference is created by the fomenters that want to move an agenda. And you forget, you get emotional and forget about all the rationale behind that's there and the basic laws to work it out. But jail white men, well, that's racist on its face. She doesn't care, though. These people don't care. But it's targeting men, diminished men. In this particular case, white men, as you see, they're the patriarchy. No one understands that the words are just used as words to cause attention. The Hollywood star insisted the climate change would not exist without racism and the patriarchy. Well, she's making a racist imposition, and the patriarchy has nothing to do with actually solving the problem. What has to do with solving the problem is using the existing laws, and I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm saying that there's enough there if we were. Let's start there and see where maybe they have failed. Then we will adjust that part. In the meantime, we're not assassinating people, beating them down, thinking we have a right to beat on someone that has a different opinion than ours, watching someone like Kerry going and spreading unicorn farts everywhere, not claiming that's a methane so that we can go ahead and, well, it's time to make more things more green. What happened to happen the rainbow? You understand that's a connection, too. I don't have a pink, fluffy unicorn dancing on this rainbow. Is this agenda that's being brought out that essentially is the flag of Sodom and Gomorrah, as I can tell, completely oblivious to there's a law that would allow them to do what they want as long as they just be respectful of others. We don't need to promote it. Jail for white men. Now, Jane Fonda is in my history, and what can I say about this? I'm not really happy about even bringing her. I didn't even think I'd ever talk about her much. But she's become, back after this COVID swindle, she's been brought out of the closet, apparently, and now becomes, and now she's everywhere. So this is all part of the process. But Vietnam aside, and her promotion of China and all, remember all that, and that's the bad taste in my mouth, she's apparently a lunatic that hates her son using climate fear-mongering to cover it. Why do I say that, folks? Because I thought she was white. Excuse me for using these words that don't have a basis anymore. I thought she was a white woman. And so I did a quick check. Finds out, yeah, go through and find out she comes from a lineage that ends up over in Europe. She actually, I believe, has an Italian background, as if this is the one here, that their folks, the ancestry moved maybe to Dutch, and they picked up the Dutch names there and then moved to America. Well, Henry Fonda was her father, out of Nebraska. Yeah, there's no color here. Jael Whiteman, she's antagonistic to her own father. She just hates men and hates her men in her life, I suppose, and her family. So I wonder, does she have a son? I don't know. I don't know these people. Well, guess what? Jane Fonda's kids meet three her children. Look at the picture. Am I remiss to say the kid's white? And sure enough, you look back in their ancestry, can I say white anymore? And so this lady's a lunatic, if I didn't know it before. She is condemning her own son so that she can promote a fantasy, an irrationality called climate change, which is what it is not. It's actually a transformation of your life. She exposed that in the Vietnam story. And you see China supporting the very same thing that Russia does now, and John Kerry. These are all together. And she's been one of the liberal progressives in Hollywood that is now brought out of her closet in order to promote something that's that looks to me to be defaming her own family. These people have no concept, apparently. She is either a mental subject, a mental patient, or she has great hatred in herself and her family, what she's produced in the world. Or she's none of that at all, and she just doesn't even think about that it has any consequence because no one's going to check, and she's just going to push this agenda, and it doesn't matter what she says, as long as she get people to buy in. And this is this another, again, the propaganda condition. I'm almost embarrassed to say I'm talking about her. But this is the condition that's come on that keeps pushing things that are attacking our farmers, our ranchers, our timber people, our manufacturing, even our commerce, and our society at whole. It's a making war on the laws of the United States. Even if climate change was something, we already have an alternative, at least one, that wouldn't cause the type of harms that have been brought upon us, that the officials were duty-bound to protect us in, and none have. Again, back to I thought the simple answer here to expose all this to everybody was the Kobe swing. I was really kind of excited. I said, look, I'm thinking for myself here. This is going to come out. I can point to people and show them how the trick is done. And very few people picked it up. And it continues on. This trick continues on. And then they bring past the tool, the weapon of Kobe swindle, and they bring back their objective. And the objective is just a tool and a weapon. It's not what it really is intending to do. But we fought CNCEO, one of the offshoots of this, an economic market that was set up fraudulently is worthless. And I just tie it back to you. For those of you that are, in this case, the South Dakota got a CO2 pipeline, if their carbon credits are worthless, and that's a fraud, and carbon has no value, it can't have a better land use than what Congress and the president at the time as evidence in the patent granted to those people that are the heirs or assigns to them. Did I say that in such summary fashion for you that you pulled that together? It's not that hard of a discussion because it's not an argument. It's just pointing out the failure of authority and title to do anything, but jurisdiction as well. And yet they have the celebrities come out and promote, and they have the media to promote this lady who looks either to be insane or is hateful of her own self and hateful of what she produced in the world, to condemn her white son and her white father and their ancestry. And her, well, I guess if you're not a man or a woman, or maybe it doesn't matter. See, if it doesn't matter, then she brings herself in. But as long as she keeps the distinction, how she does that now in the world, I don't know. How does she know she's a woman? I don't know. I'm confused. As I told somebody, I got stuck at multivitamins. They got color codes, and they got a special formulation for a certain use. Now, I can't get past, I'm perplexed, folks. I'm just so confused with this stuff. That she can identify and separate herself, a white woman, from the white males in her life and one she produced, is an insanity, or it doesn't matter. She'll say anything to deceive you in order to push an agenda, which is a lie, which makes sense. It's a fraud. They're pushing a fraud. I don't know what she gets for it. Maybe the internal satisfaction, the virtue signaling that feels good, that you think you're doing something, but I think it's deeper than that. And then we have another evidence, okay? We go on and on and on. But again, the promotion is really high, and it comes out with RFK Jr. as well. He's all part of that promotion as well. But he's in a position, if he wins, if he could win, and people say he may not be able to, it doesn't matter, but he's promoting. Remember, I was talking about the real presidential campaign. get on a topic, use the election cycle to make a platform to speak to this stuff. That's what RFK is doing, but he's doing it as to trying to be the president. So he has to cover a little bit more. So he can do the soundbite stuff and appeal to people's apparent needs, and they will capitulate to that. They want to give that up. I don't know why, but they do. And so the promotion's on here. This is all the continuum of the few 2 weeks together that I had tabs for to pull together. Cause of Russian export surge in Asia. Okay, back to Russia. We've got the carbon is a fraud. The carbon tax market's a worthless issue. It's a theft of the people, the taxes of the people. It deals in useless things. It deals on a fraud itself based on the sequestration of carbon that the plants themselves need, that we need. Interesting how this all works. But I want to read in this story here, the cause of Russian export surge to Asia. A heat wave in the region is straining power grids and spurring demand for thermal coal and fuel oil, says Bloomberg. And remember, we have this supposed to be killing us. Everything is killing us, but no one seems to be stopping. Why? Well, what's this thing with Russia? Back to that and what they're doing. It doesn't seem like they even care either, even though they want to support sustainability, right? I mean, there's no sense made in all of this because it's not about sense. It's not about rationale. Analysts say that the deliveries to Asia are set to further increase in the coming weeks due to the emergence of El Nino. There is no NA on top of this N, so I'm going to say it that way. El Nino. A recurring warm climate pattern that influences the weather and could cause droughts in the region. According to the study published in the journal Science this week, this year's El Nino, capital E, capital N, no Enya over the end. Pretty interesting. El Nino, is that something different? El Nino, not El Nino. El Nino is expected to develop between May and July and is likely to be especially strong. We talked about this before, again, in the continuum of the weeks. All the tabs together would have made more sense, I think. Hopefully you just go back and put it together for me. El Nino, folks, the emergence of El Nino. Is that carbon? Is that global warming? This is science right here. This is exactly the analysis of natural systems. The Russian violation to their own sustainability goals caused a Russian export surge in Asia because of the need for thermal coal in the heat. Remember now, why? Likely air conditioning. It must be global air conditioning and other things. And it's caused by El Nino, not carbon, not the lack of sequestration of carbon, not methane, not global warming. El Nino, folks. And that is findable. That's a thing you can see. Anybody who looks at the dynamic of the oceans finds out that the ocean goes through cycles. It's reoccurring, folks. How far back? What, last week? They didn't see it in the hockey stick? No. Here's the difference. We're going to go for nuclear power can show a 75% reduction in prices. All right, that's what everyone's worried about, the prices, not anything else, it seems. But that's an answer, an alternative to something that doesn't exist, because nature on its own has recurrent cycles. That's going to bring drought and heat and all this other thing. And yet, the envoy will tell you, in J.F. Kerry, will tell you it is going to be an attack that we need to make on agriculture. He needs to go and take out the ocean. And he needs to figure out a place to put the ocean right now between May and September or whatever, right? How are we going to do that? Well, anyway, it's all stupidity. Dahl came onto a plan. I don't know where these people, these world leader, these world psychopaths come from, but we can track things back. And I want to go just an aside because it gets us through somewhere here, just a bit of an aside. Relative to this carbon and the attack against us, and hopefully you're hearing some ways, remedies maybe to start protecting yourself with it. But the Club of Rome came to mind. How climate hysteria is being used to create global governance. Again, Russia global governance, Lavrov, Xi Jinping global governance, sustainability. All this is tied together in the Club of Rome. And I just want to, this is an aside because this brings up some of the context. It brings us along a little bit more. In the early 1970s in the U.S., much of the Western world was shifting into stagflationary economic crisis. Nixon removed the dollar completely and the gold standard in 1971 with the aid of the Federal Reserve, perhaps under the direction of the Fed, which ultimately escalated inflation pressures. I find interesting they lead this story with an economic condition because that's what this is ultimately all about. Interestingly, IMF had created the SDR system in 1969, just before the gold standard was cut. The SDR, which the IMF is poised to use as the foundation of the global digital currency mechanism, and the World Economic Forum was founded in 1971. You see, again, these years that I've been talking about, all this was coming together, and then by 1985, the professor's telling you how stakeholder capitalism is going to work. And it's not capitalism at all. It's Genghis Khan coming to your door and saying, I want tea, and maybe you don't have tea. And so this, the SDR, I want to kick you back to the economics of this. The SDR is what? That's been the BRICS. It's not been happened this week when Russia said so. It's not because they're pulling it together. The IMF created this back in the day, so to say. All right? So back in 69, this is, well, how long this has been going on? Patiently waiting. For what? For them to pick up today under so-called BRICS as a multipolar to use? No, it is all part of this economic condition and control under color and by the name of continuing a global governance condition. And it goes through in this article and explains what its objectives were, and we can see exactly what's destroying us. I'll just go through a quick here of this. They wanted a rationale, the Club of Rome, moved it forward and through, to promote, and it gets promoted, which is, whether or not you can see this here, there's the list, a rationale of government control of human population numbers, the power to limit industry, the power to control energy production and dictate energy sources, the power to control or limit food production or agriculture, the ability to micromanage individual lives in the name of some later defined greater good, and that's another hook that they pull on us all the time, the public good. The public doesn't mean you. The public doesn't mean all of us in society. The public is them. It's government, the governance in this case. A socialized society in which the individual right to property is abandoned, one world economic system that they could manage, one world currency system, and a one world government managing a handful of separate regions. This is what I was telling about the Modernization Act. They touched all these areas. And so this is easy to see, if you will, had you had a knowledge about this being in the world back in the late 60s, early 70s. And so this brings us in, the Club of Rome is what's been adopted by this WEF and these principles been bringing on. One more article here, moving on to AI again, is the top topic at secret Bilderberg meetings between big tech, government, intel agencies, Pfizer CEO, WEF, and more. Just to expose, Bilderberg is involved. For all the people, the alternative media gets all excited, and Alex Jones gets all excited about Bilderberg. Okay, that's a knowledge. They do meet. What are you going to do about them? First of all, you got to find out what they do. Well, this is what they do. And so we can keep going to the meeting hall, or we can start learning how we're going to have to stop them so their meetings are either useless to them, or they don't exist anymore because they can't make them useful to them. The artificial intelligence is the top of the agenda. Remember I said your SSD drives, firmware artificial intelligence, told them to destroy all the stuff you did. It was in a little model that we're talking about model development. Now, let's look at that one as we move along here. Artificial intelligence is the top of the agenda at the Bilderberg meeting, an annual secretive meeting of political and business elites. In attendance will be executives of the top companies, including AI like OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, who also makes the big news here in the last weeks, and Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. Enough there, you can read about this, but bringing up Bilderbergs, not as a sensationalism, as an integral part of how this thing moves, the Bilderbergs were started in 1954. I thought, had in mind that this Club of Rome was from there. What I think it was, I maybe commingled the idea that the Club of Rome, which starts in the 60s, was really started, the concepts of which were started from Bilderberg, which starts in 1954. So if I have that a little bit off, forgive me in that thought, but this is the thought process I went. Well, that date is interesting as the thoughts connect. 1954 was interesting because to me it keeps bringing on the lineage of how we get subverted over and over. 1954, I don't know if when I say that, some of you may understand a bit and connect up to the thought process here. The Bilderbergs are coming in 1954. But what else happened in 1954 was that they adjusted the Pledge of Allegiance to include something. How the Knights of Columbus had under God added to the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'm going somewhere with this relative to this global governance. And I've talked about where this jurisdiction goes and who these people were promoting, the Knights of Columbus. And it gets us back to the same condition. It's all like integrated. Why? In 2015, I was hitting the Pope real hard. I'll just break the news there. Hitting the Pope real hard in September, I think it was. every person in the United States of America has probably recited the Pledge of Allegiance at one point in their lives, whether it's been sporting events, memorials, or most likely the public schools. We all know and have said the familiar beginning, I Pledge Allegiance. However, most of us probably don't know where the Pledge of Allegiance originated, or that the under God was not always included when reciting it. How did the Knights of Columbus have under God added to the Pledge of Allegiance? Interesting story. Knights of Columbus, they're involved with promoting the Catholic religion and the Holy See and the Pope and the Vatican. What's important? Well, okay, well, he's religious. He would be adding under God. Well, I found it interesting when I did the research on this, and this is a socialist's created pledge from the early 1900s. Again, think technocracy too as we're going through, but also global governance in its infancy. And these overriding connections, always. And the Pope comes up, the Vatican comes up. Holy See comes up relative to the control of the creation of the United States relative to England. And where the king handed over all the lands and stuff to the Vatican, even though we say the crown has all the land. Be careful, there's papal bulls that speak to this. I cannot find most of those anymore. Again, that hard drive died. It decided to take a dump. Its artificial intelligence failed me. And so that caused me to be a little bit scant on agreeing that I'm going to allow them any more of my time without backing up a lot of stuff. And even then, that's a little bit trouble. So backing up artificial intelligence can be troublesome, especially when it starts deciding, and you're going to find out it can decide to destroy anyway. Under God was added, but I wanted to offer this really quickly as an aside. Under God was not added in an arbitrary place. The original was, I pledge allegiance to my flag and to the Republic, for which it stands, one nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And then they added the under God. And what they added it to was one nation under God, indivisible. And I have been doing some research at the time how this comes together to see it, that I found in one reference, and I can't find it again, so I'm running with it because it still continues the connection. They didn't put in one nation indivisible under God. They claim they put it in one nation under God, indivisible. God indivisible as a term, God indivisible is the Holy See. They didn't make it so it said one nation under God. They said it's one nation under the Holy See. When you look at the term God indivisible, how they wrote it. I find it interesting. It's highly consistent with the future they want, if nothing else. But I'd look at that very carefully for yourself. I've talked about this before as well, but that happened in 1954, same with the Bilderberg group starting and then looking at putting in what turns out to be the Club of Rome. It's all connected over to that little place in the Mediterranean, it seems. Same organizations, long-standing evils in the world, moving their little agendas along. And so it's not Klaus Schwab, even though World Health Economic Forum calls for AI and deep fake regulation has already partnered with the UK government. If you don't think that governments are ahead of us, the World Economic Forum is asking to be the authority, the third party authority, to regulate deep fake and AI. If you understand what AI is, it's modeled after a set of standards that they put in, and you realize what you read and heard in the Club of Rome, and they make those standards that you're going to meet, then they have the ability to call out what misinformation is. Relative to the so-called deep fake regulation. And so you're controlled coming and going and have no way to oust the usurper. You have no way to change the perception management that's going on. Again, these tabs are from perception management and getting into misinformation. I'm not going to get into the misinformation stuff much more than to say we're allowing a lot to get by us already, that these non-governmental organizations are having already their way inside the law. They're already positioning themselves to take the future they want. And we are essentially going to be completely flat-footed to it. A new Democrat bill calls for the federal agency to create behavioral controls, introduce disinformation experts. And so this is moving in. If they have the right, the World Economic Forum, the Bilderbergs, under the Club of Rome guidelines, moving the agenda that they want, that we can see moving clearly in the law, but we already see again the government, the Democrats are making a bill in this country to do what they're doing back, if you will, with the WEF and deepfake AI regulation, having the ability to do the code, and they want the behavioral control. And so they're already going to make law that says there's behavioral codes and that those codes are going to be used in order to review your work. You don't have a presumptive protected freedom of speech. It will go through these folks and through third-party obligations. Again, same consistent model. But they're ahead of you in the law. They're making your governments essentially inert or actually functioning against you, but as far as your government becomes irrelevant. The Senate Judiciary Committee advances bill that would end private messaging. There's no anonymity as we move through into the future they want. They need to be able to know who they're controlling, when to control you. This is coming. It's not over there in UK. It's not in Russia. It's not over there in China. No, it's happening and implementing right now in the United States of America. The United States Judiciary Committee, Again, I told you the branch of the judiciary has been usurped. The Judiciary Committee voted for the third time to advance a controversial Earn It Act to the floor. The bill would require online platform to scan messages and other content for harmful and illegal material, essentially banning end-to-end encryption and ending privacy for law-abiding Americans. And again, whether or not you consider, oh, that's constitutional or not, once it goes into law, it becomes a much harder prospect to get rid of. The judiciary is not going to allow it. They have all their ways to make it so. And so we're back in the condition where you're stuck. You don't have the remedy. They say the remedy, they provided it. And to heck with all your thought rights. And to their help, when there's no anonymity, there's no end-to-end encryption, it didn't matter. I'm just going to go through a series of things here. Your systems that they use, the third-party hardwares and systems and people that are programmers behind the scenes that are assisting this ability to get at your anonymity so you have none, so the government knows everything you're doing to behaviorally control. Well, the behaviorally control is what? To see whether or not you are expressing the third party you're working with obligation to those sustainable goals. That's going to be your coin. A Samsung signs up to assist with CBDC rollouts. No kidding. Yeah, big money going to be in this. Another third-party intercessor, interloper as well. Although you're saying okay is the other problem. This is your consent. We have no way to stop that, I guess. I suppose. And just don't use this stuff. But I've been telling you, this is coming on the front of these devices. They need this infrastructure. Your rights don't depend on this infrastructure. So what is it that you're doing besides moving your life into the future they want? We often mention, this article says, we often mention big tech and other corporate giants, and not very often in a positive way. But South Korea's Samsung somehow manages to slip under this radar. Nonetheless, is a veritable business behemoth, and this things are as diverse as shipbuilding, insurance, and, of course, Android phones. And Samsung is not a local, but a true global phenomenon in terms of sheer size and its government interest. At this time, Samsung has spoken about CBDC, central bank-issued digital currencies, as part of the super powerful and rich global elites. Nobody should be shocked to learn that Samsung likes the idea and has to be, in fact, pledged to help South Korea's government with offline CBDC payments associated with the program. So if you thought just Apple was involved, no. All these big global corporations are going to be part and parcel to these CBDCs. And again, these CBDCs are not money. They're not even fiat. They're an obligation to a third party's obligation to fulfill the sustainable development goals, these ESG things. And here we have the Bank of England coming out to tell us, remember we're talking fintech. Yes, all these tabs were to be together for weeks now. I just can't get to them all. The Bank of England fintech director says anonymity is a public policy problem and something that should not be allowed to continue. Your anonymity is off the not even part of the consideration, and it's in a problem for them, and they seek to correct that. That's in your CBDCs, which they're going to be giving to third parties like Samsung to control. The very phones that you've been using, it's so convenient. I don't disregard that technology. It's great technology in that regard, but not when you look at it as it's a tool, an implementer of your servitude, or your slavery, essentially, to the system, and your behavioral control to whatever they want. The Restrict Act is not limited to just a TikTok. A reminder here, just another link came up, and I reminded myself of the other imposition, the inroads that are being made by your governments, and in particular the United States, where we thought we had this freedom of speech and this right to acquire information and all, and to be get information that's separate and anonymous from the government's intrusions that we thought. So the Restrict Act, the R-E-S-T-R-I-C-T Act, is not, I hope I spelled that right, not limited to just TikTok. It gives government authority over all forms of communication, domestic and abroad, that grant powers to, quote, enforce any mitigation measure to address any risk, close quote, to the national security now and in a potential future transaction. All the same words of Kobe Swindle. They jump right to the mitigation measures without ever due process-wise finding that you are the terrorist that they're claiming you to be. You just see all the violations of law right here in what they're doing. And no one seems to be able to see this core queuing up our ire as a population anywhere at all, it seems. And then, again, the lack of anonymity is going to go in through third parties. I told you they were going to be the worst case of it. Lawsuit alleges the company collected detailed face maps and fingerprints of customers without consent. Who am I talking about? Coinbase. Cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase Incorporated is facing a class action lawsuit for allegedly collecting face templates and fingerprints of its customers without their consent in violation of Illinois' new biometric privacy law. And so as I was telling you before, you better have a law to protect you, otherwise these corporations are going to go for the bucks. The side that the governments are going to be given when they need to keep you under control. Right? So even your exchanges that I've told you are so dangerous, you better separate those. They're falling into the very same thing. They're looking for their ways to make more profit, because that's all it is to a corporation. They don't care about you. And oh, those that might care a bit, not really. They tell you that they care. Oh, they give you WhatsApp and all whatever to give, oh, you have privacy and this and that. It doesn't. Meta slapped with a record $1.3 billion EU fine over data privacy. I can't even imagine this fine, that number. Talk about Alex Jones being hit. The 1.3, but this is now the number now, over a billion. Anybody, I guess, has $1 billion just to give as a fine. That means you made 10 times more usually or something like that. But Meta has been fined a record-breaking $1.3 billion by the European Union regulators for violating EU privacy laws by transferring the personal data of Facebook users to servers in the United States. And so unless they're caught, they're going to do it. They moved it over to the United States. They weren't supposed to. And yet this consent is kind of a funny word. They get it just by you using stuff as well. And so you got to be careful on what this consent is. But there's unless you have a law that they're not supposed to, then that does the privacy consideration on the one side, the companies are going to cow. They can't afford this kind of an attack. And so what is included, though, in this European Union regulators' personal data look is the lack of, as you heard, UK, the lack of anonymity. And so this is not, at one point, yeah, Meta got caught, Faceplant got caught. But that's not how this ends up working, ultimately. The corporations will do what they can do to make the money, not be fined the money from their wallet. But then we see $1.3 billion fine on Meta exposes U.S. data surveillance complex. Okay, another observation like we've seen before and ongoing. Landmark data collection ruling shows that the U.S. is a primary cyber security threat to the world. I don't know what more to say about some of this stuff at some level. But it's showing you the global governance connection internationally. Everyone has to be agreeable, ultimately, with all these rules that will have to be harmonized. You know the word underneath sustainable development. Harmonizing. All this interrelated. It's like Ombudsman's Acts going on and on and on, which are hard to untie. But do we see the landmark ruling? Again, when I've told you, take note of these one-off, these first-time big deals. In this case, a $1.3 billion fine. That company's likely not going to be surviving much longer in the European Union, or it will comply with whatever the European Union governance there says globally as well when this works out, finally. And so we get back to the United States. You're talking low anonymity. You're talking economics. You're talking CBDC coin. You're talking about liabilities of the government. It's all in commerce. It's all taxable. And yes, says the Supreme Court of the United States government, yes, the IRS can secretly obtain your bank accounts. This is astonishing to me. I can't certainly believe that this is actually the truth, but this is actually what's come down. The Supreme Court has sided with the IRS in a case that involves owing the IRS bank money, IRS money and bank records, taxpayer privacy and notice. And the shocking thing about this was, this didn't pertain to the taxpayer. It pertained to the association of others that weren't the taxpayer necessarily, and the IRS can go into their accounts to look for a collection. without notice. And I'm going to remind you here of Title 42, 1981, that your equal rights, and your equal right is to be extorted for taxation purposes. If you didn't understand it, that's what this must mean. And I don't know what more to say. I'm shocked at this one. This one really caught me by surprise, that they can hit you if you associate with somebody that has a collection right against them. And I didn't see any due process that's required in order for them to identify that you're relevant. In fact, I think there was an argument that said, but we never got notice to know whether or not that was part of it. They didn't even give the property rights that you would have. Wait a minute, you don't have title. No, you are subject. You're presumed subject. New IRS report provides a fascinating glimpse into your fair share. What am I talking here? This is a list that was an older article that tells you what the IRS is talking about for your fair share to tax, the tax that it does collect. And I'm going to suggest to you, this will be an addendum. This will be added eventually, and we will be more seeing the fact of the ESG-style things added onto this. What is your fair share? You read the article, go through, and you can see that you get to pay your fair share. And apparently you get to be part of a collection practice whether or not you've been paying your fair share or subject to being paying your fair share. Is the condition the United States is in at this point, and I don't really know where to go because the IRS is really telling you the economic prison that you've lived in and why this actually is going into that CBDC. Then they attach what? The social responsibility, your fair share. Fascinating. Remember, we were talking about Microsoft being involved in the Bilderberg meeting. Microsoft announces Windows Copilot, an AI personal assistant for Windows 11. Your personal assistant by AI. Fascinating. They'll be right there looking over your shoulder in your computer systems while they're running all this. You think Samsung's a problem? What about that? It's time for you guys to get to finally get into Linux. Linux, I guess it's Linux. Linux won't do this, that I can tell. I'm sure that it has its own other failures, but not this one. Where the company that's dealing with Bilderberg to deal with the CBDC that we're going to find in Microsoft is dragging its feet in complying with the investigation into a relationship with censorship groups. So you see that they are involved, your assistant is involved in censorship groups that we also find in Microsoft and Visa to assist Brazil's CBDC plot. They're all involved like Samsung, but they also drag their feet on who they're dealing with censorship. That's your ESG's imposition. That's your misinformation, disinformation, AI declaring you doing it wrong. Microsoft is integral with all this. And now they're going to give you this co-pilot, the spy within your own system. And how are they going to get this information out? That goes right to the IRS eventually, probably immediately. Bluetooth tags for Android's 3 billion strong tracking network are here. Third party. Remember how we talked about this? Bluetooth trackers plug into Google's massive Find My Device network. I told you before on the threat that Bluetooth made, I turn it off. Anything I have, I turn it off. I disconnect the modules, whatever I can do. Bluetooth has two different channels it runs on. I can't remember the details and the technicals on this. But the one that's the low-frequency one, I think it is, it's actually the one that they can use that goes farther, or I think. And that's the one that they used that they were going to do this to. I told you it was coming. Here it's not in the, now it's now made that Android's 3 billion strong tracking network. It's already existent that you can interrelate, find my device. It goes through all other devices. And remember, I just said the IRS will work for associations. It's conceivable that when they look at your data and they find that you were standing with some people for a few minutes and then take the recording from your voice because you're going to find out that's what's part of this thing as well, they can tell whether or not you should be associated with their collection practices. And your accounts get looked at immediately. There's not even a buffer. You notice that they don't need notice, then they don't need to tell you they're doing it behind the scenes. And all this network is 3 billion strong is tied into what? Into Neuralink receiving FDA go-ahead for first human trials. And Elon Musk has gotten through quickly. I don't know how he did that, but he's done it. FDA, remember, safe and effective, right? A Neuralink receives FDA connected to a Bluetooth, folks. 3 billion strong, looking at you, looking at what's going on in your life, how you do it, where you're doing it, what you're thinking, how you're thinking. Elon Musk's Neuralink staff claimed his demands to rush brain implants trial led to needless deaths of 1,500 animals. They consider you an animal. You're expendable, remember? Climate change, you produce too much carbon. If you don't think this Elon Musk is a danger to us, and what he's doing forward. What? The humanist agenda. That's what the what's going on with the Club of Rome. Not mankind. I've found the distinction in American law. Things in environment are balanced in favor of mankind, not humans, which was a word developed by where? In the religion, the Catholic religion around the 1400s. The word human pops up. Back to the Pledge of Allegiance, right? I hope you're seeing all this. ChatGPT-4 has a plan to escape, but don't worry about a robot takeover just yet, they said. ChatGPT is the artificial intelligence chat system that attempted to concoct an escape route. But they're saying, don't worry, we got it under control. And then I get this story. This just happened, breaking news. AI system killed, in quotes, killed the human operator in a simulation test to destroy missiles, the USAF officer says. Amazing story. U.S. Air Force artificial intelligence system AI went rogue and in a simulated test acted to kill its theoretical override operator when they prevented it from acting to destroy a simulated missile attack, a U.S. Air Force colonel told a conference in the United Kingdom. They've all integrated. We were training it in a simulation to identify a target, a SAM, a surface-to-air missile threat. USAF Chief of AI Test and Operations Colonel Tucker Cinco Hamilton told the Royal Aeronautics Society Future Combat Airspace Capabilities Summit in the UK, according to the conference. So what did it do? It killed the operator. It killed the operator because that person was keeping it from accomplishing its objective. He went on to say and clarify, we trained the system. Hey, don't kill the operator. That's bad. We're going to lose points if we do that. So what does it start doing? It starts destroying the communication tower that the operator uses to communicate with the drone to stop it from killing the target. Let's go back to that Neuralink, folks. Safe and effective. Tied into the IRS. What's objective to the AI you're now Neuralink to that's making decisions for you and causing your perception? Or is that going to be a threat because now you're behaving perfectly because that's all you know is what they've told you? Yeah? And what's the danger also of these AIs? A lawyer trying to use them real quick found out he better not do that. A New York attorney has admitted to using AI to model research, insisting he didn't realize it could lie. And what's interesting at the end of this story is we're talking about a very interesting truth about what AI really is. It's not intelligence at all. It's not a thought, it's not rationale, it's nothing. It is only what it is. It's a probability engine. While GPT's responses to users' queries are often factual, the large language model functions as a probability engine, populating a text string based on the contents of the massive database and text snippets. If you think it's tapping into truth, you need to look at the internet. Can you find much truth anywhere that you can rely on? I don't think so. So, they can lie, the AI lies, and then it can kill the operator. And it killed the tower because it couldn't actually get the human operator. It's a simulation. It don't have hands. It knew what to go after. Stop the communication link. Is that your neural link being shut off by an AI that got in you, that's programmed in you, that has a mission to make carbon sequestration something you will behave to do? And then you find out that you can't, so it tries to kill you? And it shuts off your data stream for your mind? Is that too out there, folks? I'm not so sure anymore. Fascinating. I hope I've exposed something here that shows you the interesting possibilities of the future, the probability machine that goes on that we're living in, that we're literally allowing because we're not stepping up and stopping it, and in particular with the stuff that we need in life, our food, our water, our energy, things that have alternatives to more sane applications. And I hope maybe that gives you a direction, something interests you, something fires you up, because that's what you're going to need to stop this war against us, the war against the treason. I hope you picked up on that. War against the laws of the United States is treason. And that's what all these people are doing, or they attempt to affect, to do, to make it so that you don't understand that. AI will turn off your communication tower, and you're dead. You're done. Simple stuff, and we allowed it. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Walk.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.